I am going to talk to you about the fact that there are only three kinds of people in this world. This goes along with my message about there being two kinds of unbelievers. Tomorrow I'm going to tell you that there are only three kinds of people in the entire world. I'm going to follow up with my studies in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to do that tomorrow. That's my plan anyway. But in light of yesterday's video, with me lamenting over evil and my inability sometimes to get over it, realizing that Paul suffered unintermittent pain in his heart for his brethren according to flesh, Romans 9:2, I see no reason why we can't take Paul's being in nonstop pain because of his brothers according to flesh. Nonstop pain. That's what unintermittent means. It never stops. So it's an undercurrent in his life. He could be flying high in the spirit, but there's this nagging little undercurrent that he's never going to get on top of. Well, he might get on top of it, but he's never going to be rid of it. It's this undercurrent of pain for the unbelief in the world. And I think that that diagnoses my problem. And I combined that yesterday with the fact that all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8, 24 and 25. And Paul says, we ourselves groan within ourselves for the deliverance of our bodies. So Paul had this operating on top of the pain that was already operating for his brothers according to the flesh. Now he's groaning for himself, and he's also part of the old creation. This is a threefold groaning. I'm really expanding on it. I'm going to get to another topic today, but I'm really expanding on what I told you yesterday. It's a three-part groaning Paul has, and I'm going to apply it to you and to me. Paul groans, number one, for his relatives according to flesh. Number two, he groans in himself for the deliverance of his body. His body's dragging him down. His situation's dragging him down. Number three, he groans with all humanity. It's a corporate groaning. So apply this to yourself. You groan, you're in pain for your loved ones, your relatives who do not see this truth, who are either religious believers or worldly, who are either religious unbelievers or worldly unbelievers. And that causes you pain every day. And it's an undercurrent. It's just a little nagging thing, like a burr under the saddle, never quite goes away. You can pretend it's not there. Drinking wine helps. Psst, psst. But it always is. And it's not to say that you don't believe in God. It's not to say that your inward man isn't being renewed. It's just to say that here are the facts. So that's number one. Number two, you're also groaning within yourself for the deliverance of your body. This is a more selfish groaning, but it's there. I can't wait to get out of here, that kind of thing. I'm sorry. I'm no more noble than that. I'm not going to pretend to be. I can't wait to get out of here. My body's dragging me down. It takes work every day. Who knows how much part of every day we occupy ourselves just in maintaining these frames, just in trying to keep this flesh buggy going for another day in its decrepit state. It's work. It's ridiculous amount of work. By the time you're done brushing your teeth, putting on your deodorant, flossing, getting your hair fixed up, exercising, trying to eat right, taking flax oil. Did I mention exercise? Attending to your body, spraying yourself with perfume to cover up the stench of mortality, all of these things. By the time you're done, you're lucky you have any time left to do your exercise your purpose in life. It's ridiculous. So we groan for ourselves. And the third groaning, apply this to yourself. I apply it to myself all the time. This is my dilemma. This is my, it's not a dilemma. It's a problem. It's a burden. Is that for the crushing weight of the evil that has fallen and befallen humanity? It kills me every day. Like Woody Allen said, the miserable and the horrible. So, there it is. Now, after that, I had some redeeming thoughts today, this morning. And I want to tell you about these because I am convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that every single thing we go through has been predetermined by God. Well, that's obvious right there already. Ephesians 1:11, God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. We know that's true on a worldwide basis, but I'm speaking now individually. God is shaping you and preparing you for a role that you will have among the celestials. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that somehow the celestials are going to be learning the multifarious wisdom of God through us, the ecclesia. Paul says in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 3, to me less than the least of all the saints was granted this grace to bring the evangel of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations, that's us, and to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret which has been concealed from the eons in God who creates all, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and the authorities among the celestials through the ecclesia, the multifarious wisdom of God in accord with the purpose of the eons which he makes in Christ Jesus. This opens the ceiling. We get a look into the celestial world, and we find out that they are even now learning something of the grace of God in God's dealing with us. They see that God has taken the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid, and he is making something of us. And the celestial world, Paul says, we're a theater to messengers. He's talking about spiritual beings. We're a theater. I've told you before, this is like the Truman Show. They're watching us, and they're learning, and God's dealing with us. Do you think, or would you even imagine that that would stop? That somehow, when we're glorified and we're taken to our celestial home, because our realm is not inherent here on earth. Our realm is inherent in the heavens. That's also in Philippians. Read the whole book, you'll find it. 2:10, 3:10, our realm is inherent among the celestials. We are going there. And each of us, even if we don't rule or reign, I've heard some of you say, Martin, I don't care if I rule or reign. Those who suffer with Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2, those who suffer with Christ will be reigning with him also. But if we don't suffer with him, we won't be reigning with him, but we'll be saved, of course. We're saved by grace. It has nothing to do with suffering, nothing to do with works. See, Martin, I don't care if I reign. I don't care if I rule. I'm tired. I just want to rest. String me up a hammock from the North Star to Beetlejuice over here. I just want to rest for an eon before I do anything. I understand. I think you're going to feel differently when you're made immortal. Nevertheless, everything you go through today is preparing you for a role that you will hold in the oncoming eons. Because we know that it's giving you scripture after scripture. In the oncoming eons, not now, but in the oncoming eons, God is going to display the transcendent riches of his grace. And again, in his kindness to us. So he's doing it now, and he's going to be doing it then. Now he's showing the multifarious wisdom of God. Then he's going to be showing the transcendent riches of his grace in the eons to come. Each of us is going to have a role in that. It has nothing to do with ruling or reigning. You're going to have a role in that whether you're ruling or reigning or not. Now, every single thing you're going through today is grooming you for that. Nothing is wasted. Look at the life of King David. Everything he went through prepared him for the throne. He was raised a shepherd. It taught him discipline. He was responsible for the flocks. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you can't be responsible for a little thing, God's not going to give you a big thing. If a man's responsible for 5 cities, God will give him 10 cities. I used to say that, you know, if you can't take care of your pets or your family, how are you going to take care of anything among the celestials? Well, Paul says that. One of the qualifications for a supervisor in the ecclesia was that he ordered his family well. So that gives you a hint right there. It should. Paul's saying, hey, we're going to look at what you do here on this earth and we're going to apply it to what you're doing in the celestials, in the bigger thing, when we come into the bigger thing. So we complain and we gripe about, you know, take care of these bodies. I'm just stating the facts earlier. I guess I'm griping about it a little bit, but I understand it. I understand it completely. These little things, the little things you have to take care of, whether you're taking care of your sick parents, whether you're watering a plant, whether you're feeding a cat or maybe 10 cats, even taking care of your body. trying to go to bed on time. All these little disciplines are not in vain. They are preparing you for something. I'm not going to pretend I know what you're being prepared for. I don't even know specifically, you know, what I'm being prepared for. I know generally, but I don't know specifically. But I know that nothing is wasted. So God has orchestrated every detail of your life. Right? In Him, we are living and moving and are. Acts 17:28. He Himself gives to all life and breath and all. Acts 17:25. Jesus Christ said, your very hairs are numbered. For anyone to say that God does not order the details of your life, a master's steps are ordered by the Lord. Proverbs 20:24. Steps. Steps. You ever seen anybody get excited about a little kid's first steps? A two-year-old or one and a half, whatever. They just stand up on their own. They're finally able to balance. And they take one tiny little ooh step and everybody goes crazy. They throw confetti. They blow party horns. It's a big deal. That's ordered by God. Ordered by God. So, God chose your parents. God chose the country you were born in. God makes things happen to you that are absolutely essential. Here's the deal. God has this end game for you. He has this thing that you're coming into. Now, God knows the end from the beginning. He tells the end from the beginning. So, He already has this place made ready for you. But He has to prepare you for it. You personally. He has to get you ready to do whatever you're going to do. And everybody's role in the celestials, when we're transformed from mortals to immortals, is different. Very particular role. So every single person has to be trained, has to be prepared for that. God wastes nothing. And so every single thing you're going through in your life is ordered. A master's steps are ordered by the Lord. Ordered for you to go through to prepare you. And I'm talking about when you fell down the steps and broke your leg. I'm talking about when you got a divorce. I'm talking about when you got sick or when your child died. All these things, God is like, God doesn't delight in bringing evil to you. Does not delight in it. But he's like, I got to do this. I got to do this. You know, Hebrews says God didn't delight in the sacrifice of bulls and goats. But it was necessary to foreshadow the coming of Christ. Likewise, God does not delight to make you fall down the steps. I mean, I've often taunted God, though. I'll bang my head on the cupboard, and I'd look up to God because I know He's responsible for it. And I said, you had to do that. That had to happen today. You really found that necessary, that I should bang my head on that cupboard. And God's up there taking a deep breath. He's going, yes, yes, yes. That was absolutely necessary. There's no thing too small. If the hairs of our head are numbered, there's no pain, no inconvenience too small that God says, that was just window dressing. That was just a little flourish there. It doesn't mean anything. Oh, it does. It does. It means a lot. That thing is absolutely needed. Even that little thing. So let alone the big things. That was absolutely needed to fit you like a puzzle piece. You see, He makes the receptacle first, like the plate. You know when you do a jigsaw puzzle and you have the little knobby thing that goes into the little holy thing? Right. Well, God has the holy thing ready. You're the knobby thing, but He has to shape it just right or it won't fit perfectly. It's like a machined part. Isn't it amazing how they take metal and they machine screws and they make a screw? It's just perfect. And you screw that thing in there and it goes right in there smoothly, smoothly, smoothly. Well, you are being fit for a role. And everything that's happening to you is necessary. It may seem redundant. It may seem ridiculous. It may seem gratuitous, even superfluous. And I know for damn sure it's irritating. But you need, and I need, I'm telling myself this as I talk to you, to take a deep breath and realize you are being fitted. You are being fitted for a role among the celestials that only you can fill. It might not be a ruling and reigning role. but it'll be a role. Because every member of the body has a role. And Paul uses the human body as an example of that. Excuse me. The foot, the hand, the mouth, the eyes, everything has a role. This today helps me to settle in a little bit better. We still groan. We're still in unintermittent pain. But the beautiful thing is knowing that the groaning or the pain, neither of these things are done in vain.